Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. You will walk out of here victorious today.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, and we will conclude in verse number 39. Amen. Amen. We have Romans chapter number 8. You're looking at verse 35. Say that I have the word.
And I'm ready to receive.
Romans 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me or separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. May God bless you, the hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stand forever. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, tag to this message called this morning, "Our Guarantee." Amen. Our guarantee. Amen. We need to know what the guarantee is. Amen. Amen. Because sometimes we walk around like we don't have a guarantee.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
In uncertain times like the times we live in today, there's a certain uneasiness on a daily basis, because we just don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
People are uneasy about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
They're uneasy about their jobs and the government.
Mm-hmm.
They're uneasy about their survival, mm-hmm, and the future, what it holds for them.
Right.
In times like these, we need to turn to God, and especially in times like these, we need to hear what God has to say to us.
Amen.
We need to know what is his policy when it comes to us. What's in his policy in the times that we live in, so that we will know what is his guarantee.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Romans 8 is a powerful chapter.
Amen.
It is a chapter that the apostle covers in somewhat some very important some things, such as how we ought to walk in the Spirit. That's how he opens it up.
Right.
How we ought to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
Right.
He tells us some important things, such as how we are we have been adopted by God.
Right.
That he's your daddy. Come on and say amen.
Amen.
And so we ought to act like who we belong to.
Amen.
He talks about how we are joint heirs with Christ.
Uh-huh.
That means whatever he got, we got.
Amen.
These are some policies that God has put together for us, and we need to understand. He tells us how the Spirit of God make an intercession for the saints according to the will of God, according to his policy.
Yeah.
How God works things out for us according to what he said, not what we say.
Right.
Or not what they say. Or the street committee say.
Right.
Or the newspaper. Or the news people say.
Amen.
He explains to us, see, he reminds us that as we walk and we work together, that all things will work together for our good.
Yeah.
According to the love, for God's purpose, for those that love him.
Yeah.
He explains to us and he lets us understand that those of us, we are predestined.
Yes.
Amen. He tells us not only are you predestined, meaning God knew you beforehand,
yes.
that God had a plan for you beforehand, yes. that God already had it worked out beforehand.
Right.
This is God's policy about us. Yes. He's saying that not only that, he said, but God has conformed you to the image of his son.
Yeah.
You wonder why you go through what you go through. It's because you look like Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. And you're able to go through because you're able to come out.
Right.
What you go through, come on and say amen.
Yes.
And he said he's called us, and guess what else that he did? He called us, and he justified us.
Yes.
In other words, he didn't make us right. He looked at us as if we were right.
Yes.
Even when we were wrong, that's what happened. The enemy is mad because he know you're wrong, yes. and you know you're wrong, but God still won't look at you wrong.
Right.
That's something to shout about here. He know you wrong, and you know you wrong. But God say you're all right with me. That's justification. Hallelujah. And so when we look at how he justifies us, and then he, you know, this is because, not because I've been so great,
come on.
Not because I've been right and I knew how to pray and I read the right scripture
right.
and I fell in the right place because I followed the plan of God.
Right.
He's letting us know that this is not because of us, but it's because of God's unfailing love, God's grace, and his rich mercies. That's how I'm here.
Yeah.
I just can't get with Minister Nett how people take pride in.
Come on.
And they say, oh, I did this.
Right.
And God, you know, I got favor because of this. No. You don't deserve favor.
Right.
Favor and you deserving it don't even go together.
Right.
You got it because he gives it.
Yeah.
It's not about who you are. It's about who he is. And when we get that understanding, we're already in a place of victory.
Right.
Because God don't bless us. He don't deliver us. He don't heal us because of who we are.
Right.
He does it because of who he is.
Yeah. Right.
If you saw somebody that was in need and you gave to them, it's not because of who they are. It's because of who you are. Because people pass by folks all the time and don't give them nothing.
Yeah.
Amen. And so God is because of who he is.
Yes.
We ought to continue. We're going to continue to discuss our guarantee and the things that God has in store for us, his policy.
Yes.
We have to open our hearts and minds to receive what his word says, his policy, his guarantee for our lives.
Yes.
When Paul was writing this to the Romans, he was writing to let them know that, hey, and this, here's the thing about the Roman church. The Roman church was a lay church. They didn't really have a leader that stood out that you ever hear about, like Timothy or Titus or anybody like that. They were people who said, you know what? We need to know what God has for us.
Right.
And they walked in it without somebody making them walk in.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of people want somebody to make them do it.
Yeah.
You need to make them. You know, no, they walked in it because they really wanted to know who God was.
Yeah.
So when we look at verse 35, it begins as a question. He says, who can? Basically, he was asking who or what? Is there anything out there that can separate us? Now, here's the thing. Some people get this confused and they think that when they say nothing can separate me, they think that they love God so much can't nothing separate them. But that's not what this means. This means that even when you don't love him, that when you fail, when your love is insufficient, when you're incomplete on what you're supposed to, God still completes his love towards you. His love is always there. His love, he doesn't care how bad you get. He doesn't care how far off you go. His love is so great that he's attracted to you.
Yeah.
He's married to the backslider.
Yeah.
Come on and say amen.
Right.
And so he said, who can or what can separate us from the love? So Christ's love, listen to this. When he talked about about this stuff, he's talking about us being delivered from a lot of stuff. Yeah. It's Christ's love that delivers us.
Yeah.
Not, oh, come on here. Yeah. Let me take my time. It's Christ's love that can deliver us from the most severe circumstance. And this is not this is not because what we've done, but it's because of his just him loving us.
Yeah.
Just because we exist, he loves us.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have somebody. And so when we look at this, he loves us. Christ loves us, can deliver us from these things that we may go through. And this is not, you know, just some talk. This is his policy. Mm-hmm. His policy is that of love.
Yeah.
That's why I can't understand how people can fall for when folks start talking about money so much, and they talk about how Jesus talked about money more than he talked about being saved and all this.
Right.
That he didn't preach the gospel. He is the gospel.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you can sit in the service and hear this and not know what God has his policy towards you.
Right.
And see, that's the problem. When you don't know the policy, you'll fall for anything. You'll get taken advantage of.
Right.
When you don't know what God has said,
right.
You don't know his will, you don't know his word. And so we have to know his word.
Yes.
And when we know his word, we won't fall for the stuff that the world is falling for.
Right.
You won't go with the broad way. You'll go through the narrow way. Come on and say amen here. And so when we look and understand this, when we understand that this, what he said, is a wonderful assurance or a guarantee that is it is unimaginable, because when we talk about how God delivers us, it's not because I prayed the right prayer.
Right.
It's not because I read the right scripture.
Right.
It's not because I positioned myself, you know, because we get the
right.
And we testify, I did this. No, he lived, and had not been for the Lord, he was on my side. I don't know where I would be. Hallelujah. And so, God, if you can have it, if you can imagine it, God can deliver you from it.
Yes.
Amen. Deliverance comes by his love. His love, not how we act or how we respond. Lord, have mercy. Think about this. When we were saved, when you first were saved, it wasn't because you acted right. His love came and found you. Picked you up out of the pit. Dusted you off. Cleaned you up. Some of us was written off, but his love wiped us off. So we thank God because of it. You know, I thank God because I know I haven't responded right.
Yeah.
I know sometimes I respond in the wrong way.
Yeah.
I don't always act right.
That's
but God's make he makes me a winner every time I go through something.
Yeah.
He picks me up every time. He brings me through every time. He heals me every time. He delivers me every time. And that's why he said many are the afflictions. Now last time I checked, all is greater than many.
Yeah.
And so I might have many afflictions, but God delivers from them. And so that is something I don't even know I went through. There's some stuff that didn't bother me, and God was already handling it before I got to it. So I didn't even know I was going through it. There was some stuff people intended for me, the enemy intended for me, that he thought that I was going to get caught in, and I didn't even know I was walking through the valley. I didn't even know I was walking through the pit. I didn't know I was in the lion's den, but God protected me, and he kept me to keep me away from all harm and all danger. Is there anybody in here today that said, I don't know what I've been through from stuff, and I didn't even know what was in store. I didn't even know I had it until I went to the doctor, but when I got there, God took it, and I ain't got it no more. Is there anybody here that said, I didn't know what was happening, but God protected me, God shielded me. Right hand. See, he'll protect you. He'll keep you from stuff that you. That's what the old people say, danger sin. And look, I don't even know. I didn't know what they was intending. You thought that was your friend. They were intending to do you some harm. You didn't even know it, but God was protecting you the whole time. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who or what can separate us from the love of God? Too many people, even the believers, feel that we that God does not sometimes, that God is forgotten sometimes. We don't feel the love like we think we ought to feel. That's why this thing ain't about feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why it's about faith.
Yeah.
Because how you feel don't matter at the moment.
Right.
But how you faith matters.
Yeah.
How you believe matters.
Yeah.
Oh, come on and say hallelujah.
Yeah.
And when we look at it, he loves us. And some people think that, oh, I don't know if God can love me, what I done, I shouldn't have done it. And things like that. We feel unworthy of his love. We feel that we've fallen too far away and we've come short of the glory. How could God possibly love me? And then we got people that go to the other extreme. I can do whatever, God still love me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He do. And guess what? He'll chasten you because he loves you.
Yeah.
Come on and say amen. And so we have to understand that, you know, we can't live a defeated life because of what we did. We ought to live a victorious life because of what he's done.
Yeah.
Oh, come on and say amen.
Yeah.
And so he said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Then he adds, he tells us, shall tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Tribulation is when we undergo struggle and trials and temptation and suffering, excuse me, or even affliction.
Mm-hmm.
He says, should we go through this, shall we go through tribulation or distress when we suffer in a tight place?
Yeah.
Amen. You ever been between a rock and a hard place?
Yeah.
This is what he said. When we're in distress, when we're in trouble, when we're strained, when we're in the agony, and we are in a place where we don't know what to do.
Right.
Amen. He says, persecution. Now, the thing about persecution is sometimes we're abused, we're mocked by others.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're ridiculed, we're ashamed, we're mistreated. Come on and say amen.
Yeah.
We're neglected and harassed, and sometimes we're injured.
Yeah.
And we always call it church hurt, but it ain't just people hurt.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But you get people hurt at work and you go back.
They
fight down at the trail ride and they fight at the club, but they right back. But as soon as we disagree at church, we decide that's it, I quit.
Right.
What kind of weak Christian stuff is this? We need to grow up and be strong in the Lord. And the power of his might. How you know you love like God love if your love ain't tested? How can you forgive if somebody don't offend you? You need to know that I'm a forgiver like my God because they offended me and I forgave. There's a famine for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
A famine of food.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have a famine of favors.
Because
don't nobody want to fool with you.
Right.
And then sometimes it's not there. But he said that this still don't stop God from loving you.
Right.
He says, now he says famine and nakedness, to be stripped of your clothes and all the comforts of life. It seemed like you're bad. And you know, this also goes along with when how we feel when we know we had something happen and it seemed like everybody looking at us.
Right.
We feel uncovered.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, but guess what? God still loves you even in your feeling of uncoveredness.
Yeah.
Just because you ain't got no money, somebody saw that you used an ETV car.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that.
Right.
God still loves you.
Yeah.
Amen. Just because you lost your car or you lost whatever, your job, don't worry. God loves you. Hallelujah. He said nakedness, then he says peril. He said peril. Now, when the word peril means that basically when we are exposed to the most severe elements, when we have the most severe risks in life, when we are confronted with terrible dangers, when our mind, body, soul, our family, even our property, our loved ones, all of them are attacked by the enemy, he said, this is peril. When we have perilous times, and the Bible tells us this, that perilous times will come.
Wow.
Amen. But it don't matter if perilous times come, but something already has come for us already.
Yeah.
The love of God has come before the peril.
Come on. Yeah.
So that God's love will assure us that we will make it.
Yeah.
Come on and say amen.
Yeah.
He says that what shall separate us? Shall these things? And then look, lastly, he says sword. He said, even if you're attacked and you're martyred for his name's sake, he says that this stuff don't keep God from loving you. And, you know, because some people been teaching that you can tell how much faith a person has and how godly they live by the possessions they have. The devil is a liar. That is a doctrine of demonic forces. Because you can't tell if a person loves God or if a person has a relationship with God by stuff they have. You can tell by the love they have. But not by the stuff they have. Because I know some people that when I grew up that didn't have nothing hard. But they loved God. These Afro-Americans that go to these churches and they preach that because they know their grandma didn't have nothing. I'm old enough to remember outhouses. Anybody remember that? Yeah, young people don't know what that is, but the bathroom wasn't in the house. And you can't tell me that them folks didn't love God. But you got people telling them that and now they think they have a right. God's policy is a guarantee that he won't leave us no matter what happens. The scripture says he will never leave nor will he what? Forsake us, but he'll be with us even until the end of the world. Look, in verse 36, he says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And so he's letting us know in verse 36, it is basically an Old Testament quote of Psalm 44 and 22. Mm-hmm. The world is going to count us as sheep for the slaughter. Yeah. This explains why you can be minding your own business, and someone will get full of the devil and start with you. I wasn't even there. I don't know what I did. Well, that's because they see a sheep. They see somebody following God. They see the innocence you have. They see the power of God on you, that you're just following the shepherd. I'm trying to love. I'm trying to graze in the pasture that he put me in. I'm trying to let my cup run over. Come on. I'm trying to just sit at the table and eat where the Lord has put me. But all of a sudden, the devil get in them and say, you know what? We can't stand you. We want to hurt you. We want to harm you. We don't like your life. We can't stand to see you smiling. What you so happy about? It ain't nobody that happy. Yeah, I'm happy in the Lord because I have the joy of the Lord as my strength. And all of a sudden, everybody turned against you. And you're talking about, I don't know what I did. I'm going to tell you what you did. You let God be God in your life. You let God show up. You let God show himself strong in you. You let people see who Jesus really is. And now they are upset because they don't understand the things of God. The Bible said that the natural man cannot receive, don't understand the things of God. And so that's why they're mad. Don't worry about why they don't like you. Just know that God loves you.
Thank you, Lord.
So he tells us that we're like sheep going to the slaughter. Right? And so it starts out that when I try to do right, Paul says, when I do good, what? Evil is present. That's automatic. And so we wonder, well, what I did, you did right. So evil is what?
Present.
So evil is trying to keep you from doing right. Because evil wants to take over. Evil wants to have its way. But you won't let evil have its way because you ain't got evil in you. Because you want to do good. Oh, come on and say amen. And so Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. You can read it later. He said that, tell you what, we'll read that. Let me tell you what he said. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, if you do it right and you persecuted because you're doing right, not if you done picked and now they're getting back at you. Because you know how we try to throw our rocks and hide our heads. And you know, they say, don't get in a rock fight if you live in a glass house. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you. Look at this. Falsely, for my sake. Yeah, people will talk about you, say false stuff about you, and he said they'll do it because they have envy and jealousy in their heart because you are righteous standing.
Yeah.
They don't want people to see you as righteous.
Right.
They don't want people to see you as saved.
Uh-huh.
They don't want people to see you as delivered.
Uh-huh.
They don't want people to seek out what you got.
Yeah.
Because what you got is what he is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
In verse 13, he says, rejoice and be exceeding. Now, Jesus is telling us to rejoice. But we're trying to tell everybody we're crying about it.
Come on.
He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are what? Before you. Wow. He said that you ought to be, right and ready to give God praise for whatever you're going through.
Right.
Because the thing about it, if he can bring you to it, he'll surely bring you what? You know that? Come on. And so we see him telling us that we'll be persecuted, we'll be reviled, we'll be picked on, we'll be talked about. But he tells us to what? Rejoice. We have to remember that suffering is going to come in this world. He said, Jesus said, but woe unto those that bring it. He said, let me pay them back. We got to quit trying to pay everybody back.
Right.
We got to quit because I want something to happen to you because I know what you said about me. No, we got to let go and say, God, you just in your hand now.
Yeah.
And I forgive them like you forgave me.
Right.
And he said, what? Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I shall repay. But here's the thing. He asked God, God, you do something to my enemy, but let me see it.
No.
But what if God don't let you see it?
Right.
What if he don't? It's okay with me because I want God to save them so that they won't be the enemy to somebody else. Come on and say that. Here's another reason why I want God to save them. It's because I want God to save them so that their children won't give my children problems. I want God to save them so their grandchildren won't give my grandchildren problems. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So God, please save that enemy. Please save that liar so that children won't be liars. Please save that thief so that children won't be thieves. I wish I had somebody. You gotta think further down the line. You still thinking it's all just about you? No, that enemy is gonna come after your children and your children's children. So you might as well get this right now. You might as well overcome it now. You might as well overcome the enemy now.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm talking some other language to you.
No.
We're going to be persecuted.
Yes, sir.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Rejoice.
Yes.
This was verse 37. Let's see. Let's try to get out of here. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Right? He says, nay. When we look at that word, nay. Now, I didn't look at this word before. It simply means no. But if you look deeply, it also means an objection or a restriction. Right? Listen, Paul is saying that this stuff may have happened, but God will restrict it.
Yeah.
Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.